Hello and welcome to Dvorak Horowitz Unplugged, an hour-long discussion of activity in the financial markets around the world, featuring columnist John C. Dvorak and money manager Andrew Horowitz. This conversation is casual and unrehearsed. Let's join John and Andrew now.
I'm John C. Dvorak.
And I'm Andrew Horowitz.
And here we are. This is our bonus episode for June.
That's right.
It's the 29th. Yeah, fifth episode.
It's unusual. Fantastic. With one less day for the month. You know, not a 31. In other words, a month ending in 30.
Yeah, it's very unusual.
It's just so many wonderful things you find out here. So we were talking a little bit beforehand about the heat wave that's really not happening, but is happening.
And well, it's happening here and there, but it's not happening where I am.
So, I mean, Oregon was like 8 degrees above the record for this time of year, for this day. 8 degrees, which is like the largest whatever. So are we going to now start with the whole, oh my God, it's coming to an end. You know, volcanoes and molten lava are going to start spilling down the streets next. Is that what's what kind of going to hear out there?
Well, hopefully no.
Yeah, but you know that anybody that clings on to the whole weather thing, which there is some facts that, you know, you have.
It's hot, gets cold. That's been my experience.
John C. Dvorak, I'm going to tell you something that is going to blow your mind, okay? The weather is ever changing. The earth is evolving. It's been happening for thousands and thousands and thousands of years. Just saying.
Millions, actually. Millions,
okay. Yes, millions and billions and millions. All right, let's talk about what's going on here. We got the last days of June, volatility and noise throughout the end of the month. We're going to see some rotation, window dressing, things of that nature that happen each and every end of the month.
What does noise mean to you?
Noise means when you have stocks that will be moving for just, you know, nothing, just for no real reason. It may be just some unloading, some twisting of the portfolios. So what happens at the end of the quarter, the end of the month, a lot of times for different types of investors, they're looking to reposition. They may take some of the profits and rebalance into some of the losers. So you're going to maybe see some of the winners for the last quarter in certain strategies, take some of the profits off and move it down. In other strategies, they're going to say, you know what, we're going to actually push it. We're going to let it ride. They may actually increase certain positions and close losing positions. You follow what I'm saying? So there's all these different strategies that are doing things towards the end of the month.
Right. It's got nothing to do with any major trend. It's just, it's like housekeeping.
Yeah, that's all it is. Little, you know, before the guests come, let's clean up the house. And what do? You brush all the dirt under the carpet. You know what I'm saying? Oh, look how clean the house is. It looks good. But yet, at the same time, there's, you know, you got all sorts of horrible dust mites and all that underneath all everything, because what's happening is that, you know, you're really just doing a little bit of a move around. So that's something that's going on right now. And I think when you see, especially when you see outperformance or underperformance very significantly in an area, you often see that kind of create even more noise, because it has to be that much more cleanup. Little snipping off the top to take some profits, a little bit of putting things into things that weren't doing well. So you'll see a lot of times I have like a list of my crap stocks, not ones that I own, just the crap stocks, not, you know. And I'm like, oh, look at that. Look at all those names. All those names are doing really well today. What is that? You know, what does that mean? It's kind of a signal that things are a little weird.
It seems like a signal to me.
Yeah, something's not exactly right. And then kind of when markets go along, normally they just kind of fade out. We have some variants. We have now taking a cue from the technology world, where we have things like Disney Plus and HBO Plus. We now have the Delta 9 Plus. And that is a variant that is starting to create some angst. And what's interesting about that is that as we're seeing more shutdowns, I think 80% of the big cities in Australia are starting to shut down. There's some concern about, well, we got to put the masks back on indoors. So this Delta variant, and I don't know about you, but you know what? And I did not hear this on No Agenda, which I'm certain. I'm just repeating something here. But it seems to me that with all the people that aren't taking the vaccine due to one reason or another, personal preference, et cetera, and the government's desire to have people take the vaccine, that maybe this Delta variant thing is a push.
Promotion
to get, is that something you talked about?
No, but it's something we would obviously we would probably make that assertion.
Yeah.
We've kind of backed off on, because, you know, we've already, it's getting tedious.
Yeah.
We'll probably have to talk about some, because there's a couple of things that came up that, but it's, yeah, there's this, as Pfizer, they got an excess amount of stuff. They got to get rid of it.
Yeah. Moderna was approved today for trial provisional.
What was?
Moderna, that vaccine was
approved for kids?
For India.
Oh, for India. Well, India's got their own vaccines, but okay. Well, if they move a few products, that sounds like a way to boost the stock.
Yeah, and it was today exactly at an all-time high. Mm. Moderna finished, and I am a proud owner of that stock. So, whatever that's worth. But we do have the Panty Playbook, as I call it, back in action. See the technology running up a little bit. You see the interest rates coming in. You see banks, even with all the good news, which we're going to talk about in a minute, a lot about the things what happened there. Kind of interesting. We had a big day for economic report this Friday coming up. We have, of course, the dreaded or the welcomed employment report that will be on this Friday. Doesn't it feel like it was just yesterday we did the employment report?
I thought it was yesterday, yes. Yeah.
And this is with a five-show month. We have another one of these. So that is coming up. On that, we have a short week coming up next week, as Monday is a holiday. We have the 4th of July again, and fireworks are back.
Monday's a holiday, yeah.
Yeah, we got fireworks.
Yeah, fireworks are supposedly back here, too. And that means the fog rolls in the San Francisco Bay Area, and you can't see anything.
Oh.
Although this year, the pattern's a little different than now because of this heat wave, and maybe we'd get a shot at the fireworks. It'd be rare.
Were you ever one of those firework guys? You know, the guy that would be like, I'll get the fireworks, and I'll light them off, and... You know, there's always one of those guys that just loves blowing off fireworks.
No, because most of those guys are maniacs and I don't qualify.
Yeah. And how about it's one thing to do those little Roman candles and a little bit of those.
Well, they're all illegal now in California. But if I'm in Washington State, there's guys doing massive fireworks displays in front of their house because it's legal. And so you can see a better show. I mean, they do a big civic event, but you can go see just around town. There's two or three maniacs that buy about $5,000 worth of fireworks and set them off right there in front of their house.
Well, if you had your guess as to whether or not fireworks are legal or illegal in Florida.
I would guess that they would be, if all the states where they should be illegal, I would guess Florida would be at the top of the list. But because of all the nearby states where it's legal,
yeah.
I would probably have to assume it's illegal. Illegal. I'm sorry.
You could buy the mortars. You could buy all that stuff here.
Yeah, you get it from the Indians.
There's actually, I don't know where they haven't set up all these places that pop up once a year they're open three times a year, right? One elongated period as the Christmas store. Then they convert over to the fireworks store a couple times a year. Then they convert over to the Halloween store.
Yeah, that would be right. And they make enough money to make a decent or a good living.
Which is amazing.
Open 4 days a year.
Which is amazing.
It's good. It's smart.
Screw this 4-hour work week crap.
Yeah, 4 days a year I'm going to work. Well, actually, it's more than that, but it's four days.
Yeah. And then all your leftovers on your Halloween wear and your Christmas stuff, what do you do with it? You sell it online.
Yeah, you could do that.
Yeah. We have a Roth IRA hoopla going on, some real aggravation by some of the people that think that, you know, the rich just keep on screwing everybody. And, you know, we created this particular thing. It was not supposed to be for the rich, even if when they did it, they weren't rich, but somehow got rich. And today they're rich and they're using it from years ago. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Silly. And I have to say, and we're both... A very sad goodbye to John McAfee. And I said his name right this time.
Yeah, McAfee.
Yeah. So lunch with McAfee, not happening, I don't think. It could. This could be all one big
Unless he faked his death.
Could be. I don't know.
It's always possible.
Yep. Well, a market update. We got the Fed speaker successfully shifting the discussion last week or week before. It was all about, oh, well, we got inflation and we got the word hawkish in the conversation. We got all this going on. Everybody's like freaking out. We got the inflation. Oh, my God. Powell's going to call you. And then a few days later, they're out there. Hey, not to worry. Everything is just fine.
Yeah, it's transitory.
Transitory. Is it a three-day transitory worry about inflation? And the truth of the matter is, even if we have ridiculous inflation, and even if we have some, I don't know what, let's call it a bone-crushing, economy-shutting-down pandemic, it doesn't matter as long as you flood the system with money. Right?
That's what it looks like.
I mean, you just keep interest rates low, and you flood the system. And all you have to do then is just say, well, all right, we're fine. Who cares where the money comes from as long as it comes? Then we have the tag team of the Fed and the Treasury once again tripping over each other of who's going to say the most dovish comments. Is it going to be Yellen, who keeps forgetting that she's in the Treasury and not in the Fed?
Yeah, I know. She still thinks she runs the place.
She does. Every once in a while, and then she goes for a while and says, you know what? I really don't want to speak for the Fed. It's like, well, you just did. You just did for 10 minutes. But now, all of a sudden, did you get like that? You know, I think the Fed, they have implants in their ear. Seriously. I think once you get into the Fed, you get like the permanent implant.
Oh, it's like the Kingsman movie.
Yeah. You get a permanent implant. There's a guy talking to you the whole time going, interest rates just ticked up on that particular comment. Talk it back down. Talk it back down. You know, markets are wavering. Markets are wavering. Hey, they're coming down 50 points from what you just said. You got to reverse that. Walk it back. You know, and then so probably somebody was at the Fed and went to a Treasury and she's talking about this. Janet, you're no longer the Fed chair. Please resume your Treasury official category discussion. Anyway, California's still spending. We got seems the pandemic has been a windfall. We have an interesting conversation coming up about that. And the party is on again from banks. Street stress tests were out. And how many of a percentage, how many do you think passed it with flying colors?
100.
Oh, yep. A surprise.
Yeah, that makes nothing but no sense. Okay. I'm in.
All right. What else do we got? What do we got here? We got something that I was mentioning that markets have more pandemic feel. Okay. Oh, we have an IPO coming out tomorrow, DD Global, which is the China's Uber, or my father-in-law will call it Uber, and he calls the other one Lint. He goes, can you call me a Lint? I'm like, okay.
A Lint.
Can you get me a Uber? I'm like, okay. All right, the survey says during the lockdown, during the pandemic, during the time when people were out of work, there's a lot of uptake of day trading anything.
Yes, this is true.
Stocks, cryptos, sneakers, anything. Whatever it was, right? So there was
there's actually a market for sneakers.
There was a very, StockX is a big one. It's a big thing. Yeah. So there was a survey done with 1,500 people. And the survey asked the question, what is your motivation for day trading? And they gave him, what, 5 different choices, which they could answer more than once, obviously, because this adds up to more than 100. 58% of the surveyed people said making money quickly, which seems right.
Yeah, well, reason.
But obviously that was the top reason. Fun and entertainment, 43%.
Well, that's odd.
Yeah. Why is that odd?
Well, I mean, it's more than a, I mean, you're risking your hard earned cash. How's that fun or entertaining?
I went to the casino.
I guess gambling's entertaining. Right. Go to Vegas. Exactly. You're gambling. Yeah. Same thing. Or betting on sports.
I was at the casino on Saturday evening. I went there to have
Which
dinner.
One?
The Hard Rock down here. Have you seen Have you seen this thing?
Is it in Fort Lauderdale?
Yeah, it's the one with the new guitar hotel.
No, I've not seen it.
Beautiful, absolutely beautiful. It's a hotel.
Whoever's managing that operation is doing a great job.
Yeah, they have a. It's the Indians. They have a
Maybe. Well, the Seminoles are pretty smart. They're one of the sharpest tribes.
So it has the actual hotel is a glass. It's a glass guitar. It's beautiful. It's all lit up, and there's lights that go straight up the strings into the sky. It's beautiful. Anyway, the point was I was there, and I went to dinner, and I had to walk through the casino, of course, to get to my restaurant. And aside from the fact that I had this unbelievable sting in my eyes from all the smoke.
Smoky.
Poor ventilation. This has always been a thing here at this particular location. It was packed. And not only was it packed, I haven't been there in a while. And they obviously expanded the floor because there's like a section for just blackjack tables that they never had before. It was all like kind of mixed.
And there's a section. Blackjack's a good money maker.
Oh, unbelievable. Unbelievable. Anyway, so fun and entertainment is number two. Then you have new resources empowered me. 40%. I said, what is that? I had to look that up. Basically, it was you have like new resources. Like some of the social media and Reddits and things of that nature kind of got them excited, and some of the technology empowered them to do so. Empowered me. Have you ever been empowered? I don't think I've ever been empowered. I've been
empowered.
Empowered.
Have I ever been empowered?
Did something ever empower you?
Yeah, I guess once in a while you get picked to be an umpire or something. That's pretty empowering.
I guess.
Or you're when I was an air pollution inspector, I was empowered. You know, now I had the law behind me.
Mm.
I don't know. I mean, it's nothing I think about.
All right. Well, participating in online message boards, 26%. And, of course, the FOMO or fear of missing out, which is 19%. So there you go.
Yeah, that's a big one.
Now, Jeff Bezos is planning on going to space, you know this, with his, there's a kind of a race right now with Richard Branson on the Virgin Galactic, which its stock went to the races also recently, straight up.
You had picked that one earlier.
Yeah, that one's, it came back down.
Out of it, but.
Well, I made some great money. I think we made 40-50% in it, if my memory is correct on the game. And then came back down dramatically when Chamath Palihapitiya, he sold his shares. And then Richard Branson sold a bunch of shares. And it was like, oh, my God. Everybody freaked out. And then the stock sat there for a while, and then decided, okay, making another run, and just went straight up again, up to about close to about $60 the last few days from about 20.
Another good short.
Well, with Bezos going into space, people don't like this guy, right?
I don't know why they don't. I mean,
I like him. I think he's. Oh, I met him. I told you.
I dislike him or like him. I never met him. He's a guy, one of those guys I probably could have met in the day, but I never really had any interest in it. Certain people, I just don't care. You know, it doesn't. I'm not driven to want to meet them. I would put Bezos in that category, and also Zuckerberg doesn't seem like.
I wouldn't want to meet Zuckerberg. Bezos, I've met him. He's a nice guy.
He seems like a nice guy, but he doesn't seem interesting.
I don't know. I think he's a smart guy. From Florida, from not too far away from here, actually. In Miramar.
Yeah, he's always been associated with no personal income tax states. Florida, Texas. The only time he was like a superstar student at Princeton, I believe. One of the sharpest guys. He's one of the sharpest guys in the world. Yeah.
Well, clearly, and the richest. So there's a petition on change.org, which is entitled, "Do Not Allow Jeff Bezos to Return to Earth."
That's a good one. That's one way of dealing with your competition.
Yeah, after Bezos announced his plans to fly on next month's first passenger space flight on his company's Blue Origin, and the petition already has more than 122,000 signatures. The guy who started the petition says billionaires should not exist on Earth or in space. But
yeah, this is becoming a big trend, this anti-capitalist thing.
But should they decide to go to the latter, they should just stay there.
It's cute.
So stupid. Hey, have you, there's a few places that I don't eat at. Like I specifically don't go there. If somebody said to me, hey, you want to meet there? No.
So, what place was this?
Subway sandwiches.
Oh yeah. Well, Subway's terrible. I'll tell you a couple of interesting things. One, in this regard, I don't like Subway products. I think they're inedible. But I have never been to a Wendy's.
No,
I've never had a Wendy's burger. I've never stepped foot in a Wendy's. I've never had anything to do with Wendy's. And it was just one day. It was like maybe 10 years ago. I just decided, look, there's enough of these places. I've had a Carl's burger.
Mm-hmm.
It's pretty rare around here. And they're okay. The Carl's Star, I think, is pretty decent. But I just decided I'm not going to have a Wendy's. I'm going to cut. No, not going to happen. Especially after Dave Thomas died.
They're from down here, too.
Oh, are they?
He was a nice fella. Yeah, so was his wife. Yep, beautiful people. Yeah,
he seemed like a nice guy.
Very, very nice. I've been to different events with them and all. Very nice. Well, here's some further reason why I don't go to Subway. At least this is from the paper. Tests were done.
Also, Chipotle. I've never had.
Chipotle's good. It's fine. It's edible. It's. I don't know. It's fine.
I refuse to go there after.
If you're of the mind that you're willing to eat that kind of thing, which is just slop in a bowl.
You know, we have taco trucks all over the place.
Well,
taquerias. We have all those restaurants in the San Francisco Bay Area where the Mission Burrito was invented. Why am I going to go to Chipotle? It was once owned by McDonald's.
It was spun out of McDonald's. That's a good point. Well, Subway doesn't have the same conditions, I don't think, for the food quality, because tests were done by a commercial lab and it proved that there's no identifiable tuna DNA that was in the Subway's sandwiches.
It's a Subway tuna sandwich,
yeah, you mean? Yeah. The newspaper had 60 inches of tuna sandwiches from three different Subway locations in the LA area tested. The tuna was removed. It was frozen and sent to an unidentified commercial food testing lab as a chain faces a lawsuit filed in the district earlier this year alleging that the ingredients it calls tuna actually contained little tuna at all. So what was found was no amplified tuna DNA was present in the sample, and so we obtained no amplified products from the DNA. Therefore, we cannot identify the species. Now, I don't know if there is a particular... I don't know if maybe they're using, bonita or another fish or...
Well, bonita's a tuna.
It's disgusting. But yes, or skipjacks or things of that nature or... an albacore.
So it's got to be... The only reason you do that, it has to be a cheap fish.
Right. Exactly.
And you can throw additives in it and make it... They'll let it rot or something. I don't know what you do to make it taste like tuna, but that's terrible that they did that.
Yeah.
It's like the problems that Taco Bell and their beef.
Yeah, I don't know. It's very, very weird. Very weird. In Britain, we had a little special event. It seems that the health minister, this seems to be an issue in England. Well, maybe not just England, I guess. Matt Hancock quit on Saturday. He's the health minister. After he was caught breaking COVID-19 rules by kissing and embracing an aide in his office, which enraged colleagues in the public who have been living under lockdown.
Yeah, I'd be irked.
Yep. Did you see the Twitter crash?
No, I did not.
You didn't? Well,
I missed it.
The first day on the Tour de France, there was bicyclers that were out there doing their thing, and they were going through a relatively narrow passageway. You know, they all get blocked up in the, I guess, what they call the peloton, right? And they get it all blocked up, and they get all, you know, very tight. They're all just pedaling the same direction. And a woman with a sign that said, like, hi, grandma, had this kind of semi-hard sign sticking out a few feet into the road. When the bicyclist came by, there was nothing that could happen. The guy goes down, and it just, like dominoes.
Cascaded.
They just went all down.
And I'm going to have to go look. I'm going to go to YouTube and check it out. It sounds funny.
Yep. Now, the woman, who is believed to be German, got on a flight and is now untraceable. They're going to try to charge her with something.
Well, she better lay low.
Yeah. The banks. Again, we talked about the surprise that all banks in the latest round of the Fed stress test passed. So as we expected, once that happened, always on a Friday, that starting on Monday, we would start to see announcements about things like dividend increases. Morgan Stanley doubled their dividend. Citibank did not. Citigroup did not. Morgan Stanley also added to their buyback. Several companies, Goldman and Bank of America, Wells Fargo, all increased their dividends somewhat, and also increased their buyback. So they're really going through that whole process of hey, we could do it too. Now that they have the green light. Fed's stress test did something like, you know, if we would have by 2022 a 10.5% unemployment rate and, you know, more shutdowns and blah, 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 how would the banks do? Well, they'll do just fine. Because, you know, we did shove in billions of dollars through backdoor bailouts through the PPP program to the banks, didn't we?
Yep.
And that money is still flowing.
Yes, and they're living it up.
And I heard recently other people are starting to get, it was closed down for a while, banks ran out of money on the PPP, and now they're starting to find little bits and pieces. So, pretty interesting. Let's see. COVID update, a couple of things here. Morgan Stanley on Tuesday said that told its staff that its workers and clients who are not vaccinated will be barred from returning to New York City and Westchester offices with large employer presence beginning July 12th. So that's their main headquarters in this area, Morgan Stanley, in New York, major office in New York, of course. And you don't have a vaccination. Don't matter if you have a mask. Does not matter if you social distance. Doesn't even matter if you have antibodies from having COVID before. Because if you're not part of the club, you don't go back to work. So there you go. JP Morgan.
Well, that's a lawsuit waiting to happen.
Yeah. So JP Morgan.
You had COVID.
Yeah.
You don't need a vaccination. Let's face it. But I know this is going on, and it's just a part of Pfizer's great marketing as far as I'm concerned.
What gets even worse is the idea that if you had a vaccine and you can prove you have a vaccine, does not prove that you have antibodies or that you cannot carry it, right?
That's what they say.
But if you had COVID, everybody's like, well, maybe you don't have the antibodies anymore.
There's no proof of that. They've been studying it. Everyone who's had COVID looks like they may have a lifetime immunity.
Right. What I'm saying is, though, that somehow this is not, they're not bringing that together. Right. It's like the vaccine works, nothing else.
Why would they?
Right.
If you're working for Pfizer and you're in the marketing department, you're drinking a martini as we speak.
Or two, a dirty martini at that. You can hear more about this kind of stuff and all the breakdown of this kind of news and other news about the worldly items that are out there, and specifically a re-look at what media talks about on the No Agenda show. That's on Thursdays and Sundays with Adam Curry and John C. Dvorak. You want to find out about hardcore and good information about the financial markets? Well, tune into the Disciplined Investor podcast, where I bring on guests every week, every few weeks, not every week. Talk about some really interesting topics, give you some timely advice and financial wisdom. What else do we have here? Australia lockdown, where's it going? Okay. All right, we're going to talk about two things. First, quick education. Do you know do you know the basics of a Roth IRA, how it works?
I think I had one.
You had one?
Yeah, I believe so.
Okay, so here's what happens. I'll kind of go through it for a second just to bring everybody else up, the audience up to speed. Various kinds of IRAs out there. There's a traditional, there's a rollover, there's inherited. There's all these different IRAs.
There's SEP IRAs.
SEP IRA, there's a simple IRA. So basically, a simple pension plan. It's called simple, but it's SEP. Yes, a simple employee pension plan, IRA. So a regular IRA, the traditional IRA back in the day was just simply, hey, back when, way, way, way back when. Hey, you put $2,000 a year in, you get to take it off your taxes, it grows tax deferred. You could take it out at 59 and a half. When you take it out, you pay your taxes. So that was kind of the thing. You had to take it out, again, the previous rules were at age 70 and a half. Those have been changed recently to 72 and a half. But you still can leave them in there and let them grow and then have a nice nest egg. But you have to pay taxes when you take it out. Well, Fast forward a number of years, and there was a Roth IRA created. And the Roth IRA, the idea was, well, you know, maybe you have a choice. Instead of getting a tax deduction now, like you do in a regular IRA, just put your money in the Roth. You're not going to get a tax deduction. However, your money grows tax deferred just like it did in the IRA, regular IRA. The difference is when you take your money out, it's tax free, all of it. So here's the kind of funny thing. If I was to ask you, hey, John, do you want, listen, if I can get you a $5,000 tax deduction right now, put money in a regular IRA, you get $5,000 tax deduction, all your money grows tax-free, and one day you invest it, it grows. Let's say, I'm just going to pick a crazy number. That grows to $100,000, and you're going to have to pay tax on the back end. You're like, okay, well, let's see how that all works out. Well, I'm going to say, instead of that, put the $5,000 into a Roth IRA. You don't get a tax deduction, it grows tax-free, but that $100,000 in the future, totally tax-free.
Yeah.
So, bonanza. Which is great. Now, people would look at, if you did this at like age 45-ish, you look at the comparison, the tax deductions, the money you save versus this versus that. You look at it. It didn't make sense at older ages to do the Roth versus the regular. But when you were younger, made a lot of sense. Well, one of the things that happened is that there's all this problem now. Everybody's upset because a report comes out that the Roth IRA may be under attack now after people stuffed it with below fair value assets. So ProPublica reported Thursday that the Roth IRA, which was, you have to listen to this carefully, which they reported, a retirement vehicle originally intended to spur middle class savings, was being hijacked by the ultra wealthy and used to create giant onshore tax shelters. One of the things they found was that Peter Thiel, co-founder of PayPal and an investor in Facebook, had a Roth IRA in 2019 worth $5 billion. So if he waits till he's 59 and a half, he can withdraw all that money tax-free. Pretty good. But they also found out that he purchased his founder's shares of the company that would become PayPal at 0.001 per share in 1999. And that price, he was able to buy 1.7 million shares and still fall below the $2,000 minimum contribution limit that was there in 1999. And PayPal later disclosed in an SEC filing that those shares and others issued that year were sold at far below fair value. So that was a little tricky-dicky right there, huh?
That's what you do when you're Peter Thiel or any of these guys who that's all they do for a living is think that way.
Yeah.
Yeah. And this is a shock to people, it seems.
I don't know. I don't know why. First of all, I agree that this maneuver was not the intended process. And why should that be allowed in any circumstance to transfer the value of shares far below fair value? Everything should be at fair value, right? If you're moving stuff into an account or buying
stuff. If I was doing any of these deals, it would have to be.
Yeah, it would have to be at fair value.
Yeah.
So the thing is that if they're talking about, and everybody's going, you know, the crazies in this area, you know who they are, right? They're like, oh, look what these people do. Nobody should have it. Nobody should have the Roth IRA now. What, hold on, right? That's what they're going to do next. They're going to try to halt the Roth IRA.
Sure. Yeah. That's what you do.
Because Peter Thiel did a screw job.
Yeah. And Peter Thiel would do that in some other form anyway.
Right.
Peter Thiel. He's one of those guys. He's just got that. He's a skilled investor.
Yeah, and I'm sure he has a pretty good team.
And he's smart.
And he's a good team, yeah. So, anyway, this is something that we're going to have to watch, and I think it's kind of interesting. Obviously, one of the things that's really beneficial right now is utilizing what we call backdoor Roth IRA conversions, utilizing non-deductible IRAs, some interesting things you could do these days to save a couple of money dollars and to put money away for yourself, especially if you don't have an IRA now and you can't deduct it. You could put a deductible IRA in, swap it over to a Roth immediately, and it's interesting. So that's something we've been working with clients on to help them with that. Kind of interesting process. Tesla and SpaceX CEO Elon Musk said the only publicly list satellite broadband service, Starlink, he's going to publicly list it when its cash flow is more predictable. Okay. So Starlink, how many of these are up there? How many of these little Starlink satellites?
He sends them up by the dozens. I think there's maybe 1,000. But, you know, I got on the mailing list for this thing. I can't, in 2 locations, and I never heard back.
To get it for you yourself?
Yeah, I'd love to have a third. That would be my third backup. I mean, because I do podcasting.
Right.
You want connectivity. And I think the idea of having one that's a satellite base that can't really go out with, you say, the local electric service goes out, and you still get this thing. You know, it's on a UPS. You would still be able to be on the internet during the outage.
But isn't it satellite based? So therefore, do you have to have like a little dish at your house, or are you working off something else?
No, you have to have a dish.
So what happens if it's cloudy and rainy? I mean, really rainy.
You probably won't get any reception at all.
Mm. Yeah, that's the thing.
So you have the situation where you can get a power outage from rain, and yeah, you're not going to get it. You're just not going to get it. But it has to be pretty thick. Those microwave, well, it probably, yeah, I've had these satellite systems. I've had a system years ago. I had a terrestrial wireless that was over on Mount San Bruno or something. It sent over to a dish that was at the house. And if it was really raining out, you couldn't get anything.
That's why I would never have a dish. I was always concerned about
it. You get it with, well, now again, I've had both the Dish Network and the other one, whatever it's called, I can't remember, DirecTV. And it really takes a lot of storminess to kill the reception, more than you'd think.
Hmm. The old days, there was on and off every time the wind would blow.
Yeah. Depends on the way the clouds are in your vicinity. The clouds in California are different than I think they are in some other
places. I would bet a lot of money that when planes fly over the pattern by my house, if it ever does that, internet gets really spotty in the house. It's done it when I lived out west, and it's done it when I lived out east. All of a sudden, I'm trying to look up some
flying over.
I don't know, but I'm telling you, it's the weirdest thing. Planes fly over, and I'm like, my internet gets really weird on my phone. I'm doing something in the backyard. I'm hanging out, whatever. I'm watching a movie. I'm doing, and all of a sudden, it gets like really laggy, and I all of a sudden I start hearing a plane. Now maybe I'm just hearing the plane because I'm not hearing what's happening. I don't know, but it just seems to be a weird coincidence.
Hmm.
All right, home sales equilibrium reached is the big question, and we're wondering because sales of new U.S. single family homes fell to a 1-year low in May, likely hindered by expensive raw materials such as lumber, which are boosting prices.
That's got to be it.
Yep. Net home sales dropped 5.9% to a seasonally adjusted average rate of 769,000 units sold last month, which is the lowest level since May 2020. April sales pace was revised down to 817,000 units, which was previously reported at 863. Got to wonder how they thought there was an extra 50 grand in there. It's not like 50,000 particles of dust. We're talking about houses, you know? It's like, how did you not know you sold that? Okay. It's a little weird. John McAfee dies in prison just hours after extradition orders. Question is, was it suicide? Did you guys talk about this at all?
Yeah, we talked about it quite a bit.
Is it suicide?
I knew McAfee, and I could talk about him.
Is this suicide, or is this something else?
And I think I don't know. It could have been suicide. He was depressive.
Well, he was facing,
and he also was strung out on all kinds of drugs, and he was paranoid. He had all kinds of issues.
Yeah. All right. So there was an interesting article by a very, very good writer recently who writes on Substack. It was called "The Perils of the Personal Pronoun."
Yeah.
John C. Dvorak, you go to the Substack. Tell them the address.
Yeah, dvorak.substack.com. You can read these columns.
And what was this? What is this? The personal pronouns, the him, her, they, he, she.
The she, here, per.
What's
There's
a per?
A bunch of them.
What's a per? Person?
The per is a per. Whatever you decide, you're going to be a per. I don't know. The whole thing is, I think, is a fiasco. Actually, the original column name was Fiasco. I have an editor that I work with that helps me keep these columns clean.
Oh.
When you get older, you need an editor. It's the way I see it, because you get careless as a writer. And she suggested this column name. I said, I got the three P's, perils of pronoun.
Oh, yeah. That's always good. That's always something, you know, to have that.
So I use that title.
I like it.
I also have another, I have a kind of a funny game I'm playing with these columns. One of them is there's no adverbs in any of these columns, except unless I'm quoting somebody and they put an adverb in there. There's zero adverbs in any of the columns.
Who thinks of these things? Why would you even think of it? Why? Well, something is like, oh.
It's like a game I play with
that
myself.
Guy, Dvorak, could you believe the quality?
Even when she edits it, you know, she'll edit these things down and she'll leave some pronouns. No, I'm getting rid of them. I get rid of every pronoun. Not pronouns. I mean, adverbs. She would leave an adverb or two in and maybe even add one once in a while. No, these are out. So there's you can look them up. There's not, except for a quote, does somebody quote it in there or some that has an adverb.
So your stories are adverbless.
Yes, totally.
The adverbless, that's what the next book, Stories of the Adverbless Author.
There's a lot of.
Who does this?
I think Stephen King's one of them.
He doesn't use adverbs?
He makes a big fuss. Stephen King's the one that made the biggest fuss about adverbs. Hmm. In his writing class, he says adverbs are not your friends. And most writers are familiar with the fact that your writing is easier to read if there's no adverbs in it.
What about onomatopoeias? I mean, I refuse to use those in my writings.
I don't know. That's not an adverb. I don't care. Also, you got to knock passive voice down too.
All right. What else we got? Not for the first time, Michael Burry deleted his Twitter account. This is the guy that wrote The Big Short. You know, he was the guy.
Yeah.
Well, he didn't write, you know, he deleted his account.
Was he being hounded?
He had his account up. He had some tweets on there. Just a few. Oh, man. Market's going to crash. You got the biggest bubble. But all of a sudden, he stopped tweeting, deleted everything. And he came back. He sounded the alarm again on a colossal bubble in asset prices and predicted the worst crash in history. He said the greatest speculative bubble of all time and all things. He said all hyper speculation is doing is drawing in retail before the mother of all crashes. Boop. Deleted the account a couple days later.
He did.
Yeah. He's not following anybody either. Got zero.
Did you just come on to Twitter and make some commentary and then leave?
Yeah, he's like kind of a
a bomb thrower. He's a guy that comes into the party and tosses a bomb.
It's like Ding Dong Ditch. He's like one of those guys. Let me look him up. Burry. I'm going to look up on.
You know, these guys, the problem with guys who make it big in one thing or another, like The Big Short, they're not necessarily accurate the next time around, as shown by our Where's the Bond crash from 5 years ago.
Is a Michael Burry deleted account? Burry Michael. Michael Burry. I'm a medical student. That's not him. There's no Michael Burry.
John.
B-U-R-O-Y, right? B-U-R-O-Y, yeah. I don't know. Michael Burry deletes his Twitter account off a one-day market rally on 6/21.
One-day market rally.
He was squeezed out.
He's predicting a crash. He doesn't mean it's tomorrow.
Michael Burry's investors thought that he was crazy and a bunch were very angry at him, even though he made them tens of millions. Some people were weird. If I were Michael Burry, I'd also tweet about the mother of all crashes, then mysteriously delete my account. Michael Burry just nuked his account again. I don't know. I have no idea. There's a Michael Burry deleted account.
Oh, that's probably some joker.
Yeah, I don't know. It's still weird. Here's a weird story. In a piece, in a speech to James Madison Academy, the 2021 graduating class, David Keene, a former NRA president and current board member of the gun rights group, called on the teens during the graduation to fight those looking to implement tighter gun restrictions. Now, he's addressing 344 empty chairs for a school that actually doesn't exist. Without realizing it, Keene was actually addressing his comments to tens of thousands of empty chairs set up to represent the estimated 3,044 kids who were or should have graduated high school this year and instead were killed by gun violence. After the filming, Keem and Loft were told the graduation was canceled. They were not informed before the videos released Wednesday that the events were all fake. God. How embarrassing.
It's terrible. Where do you get these stories?
How embarrassing. Oh, gosh. Warren Buffett, the billionaire. This is interesting. Now, we got to take this for a moment and think about this. This is something here. The billionaire investor Warren Buffett said he is resigning as trustee of the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation and has donated half his wealth to philanthropy since pledging 15 years ago to give away his fortune from his running of Berkshire Hathaway.
Yeah.
So is this end of movie kind of stuff?
Well, a couple of possibilities. One, he's old and maybe he doesn't want to be involved anymore. And or two, he knows that there's something's going to happen. That's going to touch everybody negatively. The foundation itself, in other words, will have some scandal.
Oh.
And he doesn't want to be a part of it. And he sees it coming down Broadway, or he's been warned and he's out.
It's the old distance yourself. You need to distance yourself.
Yeah, it happens.
That's interesting, because I don't know. It kind of seemed interesting that he would do such a thing. You know, obviously gave away the reins of Berkshire Hathaway for the trading part of it, and kind of stepping aside. Of course, he's old, so he has to do this before he gets too old to a point that it's a shock to the system. But I thought that was interesting. This is just a trustee, so that may make some sense.
Yeah, well, we'll see.
California, nice guys. California will pay off the accumulated unpaid rent that has piled up during the COVID-19 pandemic. So the move would fulfill a promise to landlords to help them break even while giving renters relief. How great was this pandemic?
For people like that, renters in California, it was great.
Do you realize financially, seriously, to many people, not everybody, but do you realize it was terrible for a while? And do you realize that some of the incredible amount of money that was made due to this pandemic?
Yeah, by Pfizer and others.
Yes, many players in all sorts of areas. One guy, I wonder what he got. There was a guy who bought PPP jail time for a boat buy. I don't know what the guy's name is. Let's see if it's on
you.
No, not me. Casey Crothers. Here it is. This is all we were waiting for this today. I didn't even get the information. He bought a great. He was found guilty. He could be sentenced to a total of 140 years. He bought a boat worth $700,000. He took all sorts of money by saying he was let me just look this up. Casey Crother is his name. We're all looking because he bought this beautiful boat. It's a beautiful boat. 3 years. Nope. Yep, 3 years and 1 month. That's it. 3 years. He doesn't get to keep the boat.
Bought the boat with government money?
Oh, my God. Yes, he bought a $700,000 boat.
Wow.
He got the money from, he created all these fake businesses and employees.
Yeah.
And he got all this money. And he was a roofer from Fort Myers. He got 3 years in prison.
He was a roofer.
Yeah, roofer. And he also got an extra month for an alcohol program. I guess he's been drinking.
Yeah, seller did martinis again.
Yeah, judge grants order of forfeiture of more than $2 million, a $700,000 boat. Yeah, he only got a couple of months use out of that boat, too. It was a really nice boat. Oh. I wish I would have known. I would have bought it cheap. Let's see what else we got here. So, yeah, Florida's paying off. Didi IPO tomorrow coming out. This is the China ride sharing. It's priced the IPO at 14. I'm sure we're going to see, I don't know, 20, 24, 22 on the, maybe probably 20-ish, on the open tomorrow. Watch Didi. It's going to be, we have an over-allotment, green shoe that was allotted.
Can I put it on the game?
I wouldn't do that tomorrow. You could do whatever you want. We're not going to.
Why wouldn't I want to do it tomorrow?
Because it's going to be a wild ride. You may get blown out real quickly. It may go up 40% and then right back down 20 and then back up 40. You know what I mean? It's
okay.
You can do whatever you want, though. I am not providing advice at all in the show.
As far as I'm going to do, I'll just stay on my GameStop short.
Yep. ARK coin ETF. This is from Reuters. They have to talk about utilizing various adverbs and adjectives. Star stock picker Kathy Woods, her ARK Invest filed with the U.S. Securities Exchange Commission on Monday to create a Bitcoin exchange traded ETF, the latest fund manager attempting to cash in on investors' growing interest in the cryptocurrencies. Just let's get a few things straight so we all understand. There are no approved straight up Bitcoin ETFs in the U.S. That doesn't mean. Just hold on before everybody has a mental blowout. that there aren't ETFs that are listed somewhere else and then foreign ADRs here. There are no listed through the U.S. system. So GBTC and the other ones that are out there, ETH, whatever, those are all non here. They're not approved by the SEC by this, but they are ADRs and things that you could trade here. Okay, fine. So the question is, why would the SEC allow for three times bear inverse VIX ETFs? Okay.
Wow.
Right? And levered ETFs that suck, but not have a Bitcoin ETF.
Yeah, makes no sense whatsoever.
Yeah. Somebody's got to use that logic with them. Like, can I show you an ETF that is guaranteed to lose and you approve that? Can you explain that to me, please, sir? And then why can't you tell me, oh, we don't want the Bitcoin because we don't know if the asset class will be here. We don't know about volatility. Who gives a crap? Nobody cares anyway. You know, half the kids are like, yep, cryptocurrency is here to stay. I'm like, how do you know? Well, it's been around for like 8 years. I'm like, okay. Okay, it sounds good to me.
That's a good one.
Wow. And speaking of which, we do have the seat, the close to the pin for the Bitcoin Trust going on right now. So that's kind of interesting. And let's see if I have something here. Let's see if I can go to open link. You want to see where we are with the people that are competing for the close of the end of this week of who's leading the charge here. Let's see here. How do I get to this? Where am I going here? Geez, I'm plugged. All right. I don't know. I can't get there. Here we go. All right. So who is winning the close to the pin? Let's see.
This thing can move so fast in such a quick time, it doesn't make any difference who's leading.
I don't know why I can't get my thing going here. Okay, close the pin. I don't know why that's not coming up right. What is going on? Oh, there it is. I'm on the page. That's why I'm an idiot. Okay, let's see. Lead. Okay, 2768. ENA is in the lead, 0.61% away. Alfonso is 1.16 away. Then we have David M and Jonathan V and Marcus G. Marcus is in there. Marcus with the thatch roof.
We'll see.
Matthew with a strange spelling. He's there, but he's off by 16%, but he can still make it. And on the end of the list, looking at a price guess of $38.25, 38% away is Max W, who honestly, with 4 days left, you have a shot. Seriously.
Yes.
You do.
I agree.
Yeah. So. All right. What else do we have on our list here? Let's see. Donations? You know what to do. You want to talk about that?
Well, I think people should know that we can use some donations to pay for the overhead. It doesn't hurt.
Things are getting more expensive.
And if they get anything from the show, for example, we do have a lot of insight that you're not going to get anywhere else.
Yeah.
And we don't have advertising. So we can have all kinds of insight you definitely won't get any place else, especially places like CNBC.
Yeah, we have advertising every once in a while, but we kind of
try to have any negative commentary, though. That's the problem with them. We do that.
Oh, yeah, of course. We don't care. A couple other quick stories about football. The Washington football team requested a trademark, and it was refused. Nope, can't have it. Can't have the Washington Football Club because Paul McCauley in 2015 has the Washington Football Club. If you have the Washington Football Team, it could be confusing.
So they just have to go to that guy with the football club and
buy him out.
That doesn't take a genius.
I mean, they pay a guy how much to be on the team for a year, guaranteed. I think they could pay a couple of dollars to Mr. McCauley.
Yeah. Yeah. And give him a board membership or something. I mean, you can do a lot for a guy like that.
And give him seats. Give him seats.
And give him a free season ticket.
Yeah. Paul McCauley, listen, if you're listening.
For life.
We will represent you in this endeavor.
Season ticket for life.
Yeah.
Actually, a booth.
Yeah.
A box.
Right. Right. Box. And one autograph from every player this year. I mean, I think that's
on
about
football.
It. It's all done.
On a football.
Easy peasy. More football than Las Vegas Raiders. I have issues. I must tell you.
I think Raiders. I don't think Las Vegas. You know what I'm saying? I think Washington football, I can't.
They should be called the Gamblers.
Yeah, that'd be good too. Yeah, but they moved them. They were
because there is a there used to be a team called the Gamblers. I think they were in like arena football, or they were in, maybe they still are. I'm not sure. Yeah, the Raiders don't make sense because there's like a pirate theme. There should be some water around.
Right. Exactly.
Lake Mead.
Well, anyway. Here we go. I lost where I was talking about. Las Vegas Raiders, Carl Nassib became the first NFL player to come out as gay.
Yeah.
The defensive end made the announcement in an Instagram post. Of course, that's, you know, you gotta do it on social media. You know, you gotta do it on social media. And he's agonized over this moment for over 10 years. I just want to take a quick moment to say that I'm gay. I've been meaning to do this for a while, but now I finally feel comfortable. It's off my chest because I got a contract recently. I've really had the best life, the best family, friends, and a job a guy can ask for. Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, good for him.
You know? So I thought that was kind of interesting that he did that. So anyway, good for him. Congratulations.
This is a game that we play. It's not a solicitation to buy or sell any security. It's not a recommendation of any kind. Nothing on the show should be considered investment advice or a recommendation. If you choose to invest in any of the stocks mentioned, you should know that it may carry risk, along with the risk of a loss of principal. You should also seek out professional financial advice for your particular situation. We assume no risk as these are not to be considered recommendations. Horowitz Company, myself, or John C. Dvorak may invest in any of the securities mentioned and will disclose that on the website under the weekly stock picks section. You can go to dhunplugged.com and see all the names we discuss in the segment along with the performance information from the date discussed as well as any additional important disclosures.
So the chart's looking pretty well. The table is looking pretty much the same right now. Again, you can see this all on DH Unplugged. This is updates in live time. Pretty much the same. I mean, you know, the stuff that was kind of creeping higher continues to creep higher. Stuff that was up is staying up. Nothing's really falling. I mean, still, you know, maybe something was up 48%. Now it's up 43%, like Summit or the U.S. Jets. Gold hasn't moved. Honeywell's staying up 22%. UPS up 20%. Kind of in a bit of a holding pattern for a lot of this, that kind of jiggling back and forth. You have the GameStop for the Go Again 8, up 3.81%. You have the Enviva Partners up 5.3%, which is your insiders. We did get Selective Biosciences got taken out as a buyout. You had the combination of Morphic Holdings and Selective Biosciences that you thought maybe one or the other were going to merge or buy or whatever it may be.
Something's up.
Yep. So you got taken out of that for a little bit of a gain there. The pro shares 20 plus inverse, which bets on yields to go higher, was bounced down 8.5%. So it was up a little bit that it came back. I mean, yields are just not moving higher. It's unbelievable. So it seems that the list is solid.
Well, you may be ahead of your time with that one.
Clearly, not good.
Clearly, I guess so. You got bounced.
American Airlines is down 8%. I think that's really interesting. You bought that on 519. There was actually some interesting stories today about, I thought it was Delta and United. I don't remember who it was. Maybe it was American. Huge purchase of planes. New purchases of planes. Record numbers of planes being purchased.
Yeah.
They were going out of business a year ago.
Yeah, now they're buying like nuts.
I mean, hundreds of billions of dollars worth of planes.
So, I don't know.
Yeah. We like the bailouts. Don't tell anybody.
That sounds, you and Biden whispering.
Yeah. Yep. Anything? I have nothing this week. There's too much on the list.
I do. I have two things.
Oh, two things. Ooh, you got to really do it. Yeah.
I don't know why I got, hold on a second.
What's happening? You said the word Biden.
I clicked on something. It started a video. Okay, I want to do a dead cat bounce on Hudson Executive Investment Corp.
What is that? What symbol?
It's HEC.
HEC, got it. It's the Hirschfeld Caribbean Basis Fund? Is it trading at
40? HEC, no. It should be Hudson Executive Investment. It's a shell company.
HEC is Hirschfeld Caribbean Basin Fund. That's the one from Cuba.
Well, I'm not getting, that's not what I'm
HEC stock. I got that Talkspace. That's a different one.
Hudson, what's the price?
It's interesting. For the latest, it's HEC. It says Hudson. It says Hudson HEC. That's what it says. Yeah, Hudson Executive is, Wait, but this is Talkspace. I don't understand what's happening.
Yeah, something's wrong.
This one could be
something's
a problem. Amiss. This one, when I put this into our spreadsheet here,
H. Thank you, Google.
Yeah, it's Google. I don't know what to say about that. We may not be able to use that one. Next.
Asana.
Oh, I love Asana. Love Asana. Have you used the program?
ASAN.
You ever used it? It's on straight. It's a straight line up. Straight line up that stock. That's I'm so pissed I didn't buy that stock. I'll be honest with you. That
it's still going. You still buy it.
I know. What's the reason on that one?
Peter Thiel.
Oh, yeah.
You mentioned him earlier.
Yeah. And this the other one was, what was the other one?
Dead Cat Bounce.
Dead Cat Bounce. I'm just going to write a note here. That's Hudson. What is it? Hudson what?
It's Hudson Executive.
All right, I got that there. Okay, 620, 630. All right, well, I am going to say goodbye. I wish you a wonderful and a very bright 4th of July. Say hello to the gang for me. Well,
yes, we got a 4th of July coming up.
Yep. Well, say hello to the fam. Big kisses.
I will, we'll talk on Tuesday.
All right, great, thanks.
Bye.
You've been listening in on a conversation with John C. Dvorak and Andrew Horowitz. Hope to be with you again soon. Bye-bye.
Now, I'm not broke, but badly bent. I'm not down to my last cent, because I got a dollar, but it's my last dollar bill. Yes, sir. In my pockets, there's a dent. All my dough is nearly spent, but I got a dollar, and it's my last dollar bill. Oh, I'd love just one more buck fortune left me by chance. Now, here's a hint, I feel like a man. You can hardly tell by a glance. I don't care, no millionaire can give me the icy stare, cause I got a dollar, my last dollar bill.